for covering mushing, radio is incredible because there are so many amazing sounds.
Oh, it's sonically rich.
It's so rich sound-wise. Like, I just love that sound of the dogs mushing in. Their harness is shaking and you hear the barks and you can hear how energetic they are by how much sound they're making.
This is all still like pretty quiet. Like mushing is pretty quiet. It's really beautiful. It's just like, it's a really magical sound. It was just a completely wonderful experience from start to finish for me. Definitely probably the most fun I've had my entire time at KNOM. And also, Gabe, you and I, this is not something that KNOM does every year. And you and I had this idea and kind of advocated for it. And I'm really proud of us for making it happen because it was such an awesome experience. And I felt like I really pushed myself as a reporter and met some really cool people. So we kind of traded off. I flew up to Kotzebue for the start of the race. There's a lot of buildup, and then once it starts, it actually only takes a couple minutes for everyone to run away, and then you're like, okay, they're gone now. But it was so exciting to be standing there and watching them all run away and then realize, oh, wait, I get to go follow them now. Ran back to Bering Air and hopped on a little flight to Ambler. It's about 300 people, a little less than that, and I just totally fell in love with Ambler. It has a super different feel from any of the other villages that I've been to. I feel like, I don't really know what I'm talking about because I haven't been into interior Alaska, but I felt like more interior. Like, there were pine trees and the houses look sort of different. There's different animals up there, like a lot more like caribou and moose, less marine mammals are parts of the diet there. A really great town and a super important part of the Kobuk 440 because it is the checkpoint that mushers take longer breaks in, and they pass through it twice. So once on their way out and once on their way back. I was there for their first pass through, and the first musher in was Nick Petit, who, you know, we rubbed shoulders with when he was here for the Iditarod. He finished in second place. He got into Ambler at 6:40 in the morning. There's this beautiful pink sunrise coming up. I was asking people, I was like, what is the name of this mountain? I want to put in my news story. Like, what's the name of the mountain? And the woman in the school was like, oh, let's go talk to the woman who works in the kitchen. She knows all the names. And she told me it's Bornite Mountain. So it's beautiful pink sunrise, super dreamy. Nick rolls up with his dogs, super casual chatting. Like, everyone in Ambler gets excited about the Kobuk 440. Yeah, being a trail reporter, I knew kind of what mushers do when they're in checkpoints, but it was so cool to get to see it up close. It was so fun, like, watching him, you know, get out the straw and like mix up his food and talk to him about what he was giving his dogs and like get them all settled and take off their booties. And one thing that was really exciting for me about covering this particular race, the Kobuk 440 this year, is that there were a ton of young women running the race. My age, younger than me, just a few years older than me. And so it was very easy to project myself onto them and sort of imagine myself as a musher.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was like something like half of the mushers were women in this race.
More than half.
Yeah. Which is really...
And young women.
Yeah, unprecedented. I mean,
and they did really well too.
For me, the challenging thing about any kind of time in the field when you're doing reporting is trying to find that balance between, you know, how much to actually be recording and how much to like not be recording. It's always a line that you have to tread, because the more you record, the more you're going to have to go through all the audio. But also, you want to be able to get stuff that is good audio and that's more natural and sort of spontaneous things that people are saying. But also, you want to be respectful and not be like recording everything if you haven't asked anybody, you know, do you mind if I record? So that all those things are kind of going through your head at the same time. And obviously, there's times like when a musher pulls into town, you know, you can just record and they kind of expect that there's going to be media coverage. But if you're sitting in the checkpoint eating food with somebody, they maybe won't expect as much that you would be recording. So it's like, you know, that's always sort of running through your mind. It's like, oh, should I be recording now? Like, that experience of being in the field on the trail is potentially like the most challenging part and also the most exhilarating thing, I think, because I kind of have to work up the courage. But then when I do and I get good audio, it feels great. And it's also really exciting to, you know, get audio and then immediately go back to the school where you got Wi-Fi and then like write your story, record the voice track, package it all together in Audition, and then put it on the web. And that takes place in like a span of 5 hours or something. So just that quick turnaround is always, I think, a really fun process. And that's basically what it's like for the whole time when you're on the trail. I think if I were to pick an activity that I most love about being a reporter at KNOM for this year, it would be standing there capturing Ombi from a musher that is coming in and has just arrived.
I'm going to remember watching Nick get his dog settled in Ambler. Again, beautiful sunrise morning. People were there for a while, but very quiet, very respectful. So I didn't ask him any questions for about 5 minutes. First, I had my kit out and was just listening through the headphones. And when you're listening through the headphones and the amplified sound, you like notice the detail of the sound a lot more closely. And this is not all captured on the tape, but it was a full sensory experience. Like, you're cold, but he had the steaming water, which, by the way, the water in Ambler, it was volunteers went down to the Ambler River, brought icy buckets of water and ice back up, and then volunteers throughout the night and the morning would, other volunteers had cut down trees for the wood, and they had these big metal, kind of like trash cans with a wood fire underneath it and the water melting on top, and a big ladle for the mushers to scoop up this like super steamy water to mix up food for the dog. So the smell of like the hot dog kibble and meat, and then also he put some like probiotics in there, so it's just this very rich, and it didn't smell appetizing, and like I didn't want to eat it, but it was a very nourishing smell, and the dogs were so sleepy and happy, like rustling around in the straw, and he was very tender with his dogs, and it was just like a very beautiful moment to just stand there and listen.
Yeah, it's such an intimate sport. It's all about the connection between the dogs and the musher, and those moments when you can really see that come out are some of the most satisfying, beautiful moments. And to be able to capture that on radio and share a little bit of that with listeners is pretty special.
And like, you know, doing the earlier race coverage at a distance was like kind of interesting. Like, interesting stuff happens. It's crazy what these people are doing. So that's impressive just from a human interest standpoint. But covering the Iditarod, and especially now the Kobuk, I just am totally enchanted with mushing.
Yeah, it's like the Olympics. I mean, I compared the Iditarod to the Olympics of Alaska. There's just that sense of this really exciting international event that's just an incredible feat of human and canine endurance, and that you get to see in full display. What do you think the biggest thing that you've learned over the weekend is?
I think, like you said, I have to kind of summon my courage every time I ask someone if I can record. And sometimes on other trips or here in Nome, I've just decided not to. I've been like, oh, I don't need this tape. I have a lot of stuff to work with, whatever, and just like let something pass. And always felt like kind of bad about it, but whatever, it was okay. And I really pushed myself in Ambler, especially, to just, like just ask them, can I talk to them? Get out my gear again. It's not that hard. It doesn't take that long. Just do it. And I did that way more than normal. And it was always awesome. And I mean, sometimes it's not awesome. Sometimes you talk to someone who doesn't want to talk to you, and it's sort of embarrassing. I definitely annoyed some race officials as well as Nick Petit. But I mean, it's okay. I'm a reporter. I wasn't doing it in a rude way. It's just they had things to do. So that's fine. You need kind of a thick skin to be a reporter.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same. I mean, it was sort of working straight through for like me for like 3 days, not really getting much of a break except to sleep a little bit. But that's what made it awesome. It's exhausting in a really energizing way, I think.
Yeah, it's a good tired at the end of it.
Exactly. And those, like, you know, there's a ton of audio that listeners are never going to hear. But if I go back and listen to that, sound is such a rich sound is so evocative that I basically have those memories captured for myself in sound for the rest of my life.